So hello, welcome to the Erica Glessing Show. I am so delighted to have with me today. He's also a book publishing expert, and we are pretty sure we cannot keep it to 8 minutes of inspiration for entrepreneurs and light workers who are listening. So welcome, Tom Morcus of Insurgent Publishing. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, Erica. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's delightful to have you here. Tell me a little bit about publishing. How did it draw you in, and what was kind of the thing? What was it that made you want to get into it?
Oh, I think at the earliest stages of my life, I've always been in love with books. I just love books, and I think I've loved the idea of writing too. And so I got started writing actually and just self-publishing. And then once I kind of had a handle over that, I was like, you know, I could maybe do this for other people too. Because it was, you know, it's a steep learning curve to get over. So I thought, well, maybe I can support some other authors. And that was the thing. I don't really consider myself a great writer, but I feel like I can find, I know great writing when I see it. And so I felt like maybe that's what I could do, leverage other people's talents to write and share their stories. And that's what I did, just kind of one thing at a time. Kind of interestingly enough, it was because of my podcast that the first person I published, he reached out to me because he had heard me on my podcast. And it was even before I had a publishing company. And that was the first. So it was kind of interesting to think like these different things we do online, how they can kind of attract clients and customers and things like that.
Well, this show, when I was in my strategic planning, it was 2016. And I said, okay, happy publishing, you know, 2017. We did a really good leap in 2015 and 16, really good growth years. And I was like, what would you like for 2017? And I was like, I'd like a podcast. And I was like, you're a publishing company. I don't understand. And I kind of went into thick-headedness. And then I just kind of sat there with it and looked at the ways we could support the authors as much as you. And podcast was just such a natural fit, and it was perfect. And I also see that when authors have podcasts, it's so good for them. You know, it gives them an opportunity to express. But one of the questions I get asked a lot, so I'm going to throw it at you because it's not that fun. Not that it's fun. It's just not that easy to answer. What do we do if we have an idea for a book and it kind of gets all stuck up in our body, our throat, or our hard drive, like, or we don't think it's good enough, or we don't think it's like interesting enough, or you know what I mean? Like we write a book and then our self-doubt just comes screaming at us saying, you know, you're stupid.
I mean, it's the same struggle, I guess, any creative goes through, any writer, artist, even entrepreneurs. I think it's the same deal, that fear of what happens. And I think the fears, people say like, oh, there's this fear of success, fear of failure, all these different types of fears. I think one of the thing that sticks out to me is one of the primary fears is like, am I a phony? And is this going to be something that people like? And not only so much will it be something that people like, but Will I be ostracized for sharing it, or will I be ridiculed?
Right. That's definitely something people kind of trip up into, that future. And we're a judging, I mean, we're a society of people who judge. I mean, it is definitely true that people will judge. So I love that. I love helping people through that too. One of the things I wanted to ask you, and I know we don't have enough time to go deeply into it, but authors and people who are already have a book, you do so much good work in the bestseller field. How are you able to kind of just kind of give us a little snapshot into what it takes to promote a book? And, you know, really my audience is a little hesitant about promoting themselves. And that's kind of where we get stuck. Like we're good at promoting others, but how do we launch into a bestseller with like full force?
Well, let me go back to the earlier question, because it'll tie into this, because those fears are present, but that's just that it's like, everything's going to put you down. Like everything in your own mind is going to put you down until it's been proven. And the reality of it, anything that's worthwhile hasn't been proven. And so when you're putting out some kind of piece of new information or this new idea, and that's what a book is, it's going to have that fear associated with it. So the territory comes with that. Willing to accept that fear, like it's not, there's nobody that's fearless. There's just people who are courageous and can act in spite of the fear. And so that's the first thing, is like, just be brave, just do it. Like, you know, that's the thing, like get it out there and don't get too caught up in your own head. So then if you move from that in terms of like navigating the waters of publishing, it's never been easier to self-publish. It's never been easier to get published too. But it also means with that there's never been more competition than ever. And so that's not something to think as a negative. I kind of look at that and say, well, maybe there's a positive, there's a silver lining in there that we can kind of leverage. So number one is the lower barrier to entry. Anybody can get in and do it. And so I think that's a compelling reason to try, at least to put it out there. But the second thought is that because it's so competitive, or at least there's so, and the competition isn't necessarily like a direct competitor to you, especially if you're doing fiction or kids books or something like that. It's the real competition is, how do I get found? And it's the competition of attention.
Yeah.
And so how will somebody find out about me? How will they learn about me? How can I capture their interests?
Yes.
And then how through all that, essentially can share my book and give them a compelling reason to purchase and spend money on it. So when I approach a book and when we publish books, or if I'm like consulting on a bigger project for like a New York Times or Wall Street Journal bestseller, if like we're shooting for that, there's some fundamentals that are across the board that are pretty important. And you brought it up. It's self-promotion. Maybe there's another way to articulate it in your mind. If the idea of self-promotion sounds just awful to you, as an introvert, I get that. Like, I don't like to talk about myself, but it is a prerequisite. And you don't have to talk about yourself so much. There are people that do that. So don't feel like you have to follow the rubric of somebody else who maybe talks about themselves a lot. But you should be talking about your art, and you should be talking about what you're doing. And maybe there's a learning lesson in it. And maybe you can share that learning with others. And that's valuable. Like, that is truly valuable. So then you have to reframe it and say, well, how do I help other people? How do I make this valuable for other people? So you can still, in that regard, you're not really promoting yourself. You are sharing the book, but maybe you're sharing lessons that you've learned from writing it or getting it published. And so if you can share those insights, that helps other people who are struggling too. And it also makes it so that you don't have to worry about, okay, well, should I be bragging? And if that's the kind of thing that makes you feel uncomfortable, it's not about that. It's how do you share information that's useful that people can implement?
And really, I just totally got the intuitive hit of sharing the journey, like letting people know, what did you go through? Like, I talk about my first book, like in 2007, hardly anybody gave me testimonials. And then, I mean, really, there's this guy, and it was so funny. He was in my networking group. I'm not joking. His name was Car Guy Mike. And so I wanted like the top of the planet to do my, you know, I wanted everyone from The Secret to be on my testimonial for my book. And I ended up with Car Guy Mike and then also a lady named Betty who did a wine, she had a little wine business. She's really nice. And so both of them agreed to do testimonials for my first book, but it set a foundation. And then my second book, I got Jack Canfield, like Marcy Shymoff, like all the happiness people. But the thing was, I just sat there with my first book and it was like no one had heard of me. And so my testimonials were pretty modest. And it's like I could have just like died there. I could have just stopped there. And I think that journey into accepting who you are, like that journey of going from not writing a book to writing a book is pretty interesting. What did you go through? You know, and you can promote things like that. You don't have to just promote yourself as the knowledgeable person on your, you know, you can promote different things. I love that concept.
Yeah. And just telling the story, telling your own story and your journey. So if you can give somebody an inside look at that, I think those are some of the most compelling blogs or podcasts are people that are sharing kind of their journey behind something. Because when you're trying to learn something new, we're always going to be attracted to the most dominant name in the space. That's just the nature of it. But that doesn't mean there's not room for people who maybe you're not, you know, I read a lot of like real estate books. You don't have to be Robert Kiyosaki to write about real estate. You could share your journey in that space. And that's actually really useful for anybody getting started. So you have to realize like, even if you're just sharing and you feel like a complete beginner, those are the kind of things that, well, guess what? There's tons of complete beginners that can get value out of that. So you don't have to play the same game that everybody else is playing. You don't have to play the game that maybe the bigger names are playing. They're already established. They have avenues of, marketing channels and sales channels you'll never be able to touch at this point when you're just getting started, assuming the person's just getting started. But you can share your journey and you can build an audience around that for sure, no matter what space you're in.
So I'm just still getting this big thing of like, okay, what if you really have that New York Times bestseller, and I don't know, when I first researched it, it was like 10,000 books in a week or something. And I think that's probably more now. It's been a while. Book shipping in a week for New York Times bestseller. If someone has that, just like if they're really like, that's something they really want to start aiming for. What's one or two steps they can take to start just positioning themselves? Should that be, you know, possible for them?
I guess I would take a step back and say, number one is I don't think that should be the aim. Honestly, and here's the reason why. Maybe you've heard this, but I've read a few articles and I've worked on a few books, and a few books where we had like one of the objectives was we wanted to hit New York Times, and at least one case we did, but there's other times where maybe we hit Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and of course like Amazon bestseller list and stuff like that. And so you sometimes in the right context, like if you're relatively established and you're willing to put in a lot of money, then you can hit something like New York Times, maybe. The reality is New York Times is a totally subjective list. It actually has nothing to do with the amount of books you sell. So you could, that's why I think it's an improper aim, because you know, you end up shooting for something that even if you tried to map out like how you'd get there, it doesn't mean that you will. So like now shooting for a number of sales is more realistic. And then saying, okay, well, if I hit something around 10 to 15,000 sales, like in the first week, but then you have to hit about 10,000 week one, maybe 15,000 week two, 20,000 or something like that week three, or you want to space out your sales typically over the course of like 2 or 3 weeks. Ideally speaking, if you really want to hit those lists, like that's just kind of the fundamentals of it. But again, New York Times is subjective. So even though we've worked on books where we've generated close to like maybe, well, definitely tens of thousands of sales. I won't exaggerate, but like probably 20 or 30 and still not hit the list. And there's examples of that even happening now. Like I know some authors, I'm not working with them personally, but where they're bestsellers internationally and different, and they've hit all these bestseller lists where it's just based on sales and the New York Times just ignores them. So I think that's, you know, get rid of that.
I love that whole thing, because I've done the climb to bestseller on Amazon for my clients. And I remember for several years, I never aimed for that. And then when I started just knowing, I just started having it. I also am aware it does not necessarily lead to book sales. So you can be number one and then it's not the holy grail. And so the ongoing book sale marketing, which sounds so like I want to take a nap when I say those words, that sounds to me a little bit more like where the heart of the matter might be.
I actually think the real heart is, can you write a book that's worthwhile, that's worth reading, that's worth somebody spending hours with? That's the real thing. And again, I think if you're not sure if it's your first book, well, you do it. Like if you're considering this, you're listening to this, then you have an obligation to yourself to just finish what you've been thinking about, to ship those ideas, and not just be in the space where you're just always thinking about what could be. Actually get in the ring and do it. Like really get your book out there and publish it. But put the time and effort into making sure it's as good as you can possibly make it. I think that's where the aim needs to be. As far as like marketing, because that's the thing, you can polish up a lame or weak or boring book, and with enough money, you might be able to like hit these lists. But then, yeah, at what expense and where does that get you? So like, there's a lot of like business owners and stuff like that who will do that, who will front a lot of capital to make sure their book gets out there. Maybe it's even a good book, but they do have to front a lot of capital, like hit something like New York Times or Wall Street Journal in a lot of cases, especially if, you know, they're not really a predominant.
Right. It can be done. Right.
But this is the thing. You said it. It's like, if you hit those lists, well, what are you expecting? Are you hoping that, oh, all of a sudden that creates like this viral purchasing effect? And the reality is it's not. It's like New York Times bestseller list is not what it used to be. Is a simple
right. <thing. laughs> I love this conversation. And you know, I really get from it, and we got to close off in a minute because we've gone over, but we knew we would. I just want to tell you how wonderful it is to hear that, you know, write the good book, write from your heart, write the book that's calling forth from your soul. And that really, when you're doing that, you're being true to you. I mean, that's what I heard you say. It's really amazing. I just want to remind everyone, we're talking to Tom Marcus, and it's M-O-R-K-E-S. And he says, more kiss, if you need to figure out how to remember how to say his name, because it's M-O-R-K-E-S with Insurgent Publishing. And, Tom, just tell us, maybe leave us with one last insight and then how we can reach you.
Well, since we've been on it, I know we kind of crossed some different areas here, kind of the getting started in this idea of bestsellers. Again, where you aim is where you're going to focus your time and attention. And I think it's important that what you aim at is actually something that's within your control. And so it's within your control to write a great book. So that's where your aim should be. Everything else follows from that. And there's definitely tips and tricks and things like that that'll help you get more exposure. But I think the simplest thing is what we just shared. Share your story, share the process. That's the simplest way to just start sharing about the book or about you in a non-braggadocious way that people will actually be interested in because you're sharing your journey. And then let the cards fall how they may. So that's my last piece is definitely get in the ring. Do ship your book, like get it out there and just focus. Make sure your aim is on something that's within your control. So focus on the book itself, making it the best thing that's possible. And like I said, everything else should follow. Other than that, yeah, you can reach out to me. Actually, my blog is at tommorkes.com. That's TOMMORKES.com. And yeah, my publishing company is Insurgent Publishing.
I love it. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Erica.